There's been a report by Mr. Cy Hirsch of the New Yorker magazine that the Bush administration knew in advance, in fact, before they Hezbollah took the two Israeli soldiers, which allegedly prompted the invasion of Lebanon, knew in advance that Israel was going to go into southern Lebanon and attack Hezbollah. The Bush administration has denied that report by Cy Hirsch, but in the meantime, Shimon Peres, the deputy prime minister of Israel, is here in Washington and is attempting to raise money for Israel. And in so doing, he had a news conference, and he was asked several questions, in particular, what he sees as the long-term effect of all of this on Lebanon. And he was also asked about the short term, what happens next.
At stake now is the future of Lebanon. Hezbollah wants to make from Lebanon an Iranian surrogate. All the rest, Arabs and Israel, would like to see Lebanon independent, with territorial integrity, and without any foreign intervention in running their own life.
What would happen in the meantime? It's so fragile right now.
It's fragile but quiet. That's better, have a quiet fragility than a hot war. But I understand that they are ready to start the deployment of their forces in 4 days, and it's not a long time.
You know, the Lebanese government has said now that they're going to put 15,000 soldiers in the next few days, or begin to put 15,000 soldiers into southern Lebanon, as they've promised to do. And then a UN force of some 2,500 is supposed to arrive soon as well.
Do the US feel they have any egg on their face whatsoever after Condoleezza Rice came up with nothing with her trips to the Middle East?
Well, there's a lot of people here who think that that was really on purpose, that the American administration wanted to give the Israelis time, which also led to suspicions, not just by Cy Hirsch, but others, that that this was all planned in collusion with the United States government long before the Israeli soldiers were kidnapped. So perhaps, you know, if you look at it from that perspective, some say that she was basically stalling to allow Israel more time to take out as many Hezbollah fortifications and rockets and soldiers as possible.
And again, over the past few weeks, there have been other terror scares around the world with Heathrow Airport, other British airports, and bottle bombs. What's the U.S. reaction there?
And aimed here at the United States, those were U.S. planes that the 25 people arrested in London were supposedly going to target with liquid explosives. U.S. Airlines, American Airlines, and Continental Airlines all were supposed to be boarded and bombed over the United States, causing some sort of spectacular event similar to 9/11. Well, the Americans have tightened up their security at airports, as have many other airports and countries around the world in the wake of all of this. And Mr. Bush was asked if there was an Al-Qaeda connection.
Sounded like to me Homeland Security did a good job, along with intelligence services and FBI, in working with the Brits to shut down a major plot that could have killed Americans. You know, it's got, it looks like something Al-Qaeda would do.
Now, about this, Mr. Bush didn't want to give reporters a definite answer on this, but all indications are that, yes, it was supposed to be a spectacular Al-Qaeda second 9/11.
How long do you think the U.S. will keep their airports as tight as what the British airports have at the moment?
Well, Adam, they've already loosened some regulations regarding taking on liquids and various kinds of substances on airplanes, but a lot of things that could be combined, inert substances that could be combined into a bomb, and those kinds of prohibited items are continuing to be prohibited, and people are waiting in long lines, and there are even longer delays now at most American airports. This, as Mr. Bush said, he expects this war against terror to go on and on and on for years. So this kind of terror alerts that take place, and in particular about air transportation, seem to be something that Al-Qaeda or whoever is involved in this is very interested in this. So it appears that for a long time that we're all going to be waiting in lines and being restricted to what we can take on airplanes.
We're listening, we're looking, and one thing that's important is for us to make sure that those people who are trying to disrupt terror cells in the United States have the tools necessary to do so within the Constitution of the United States.
And the philanthropists have got together in Toronto to talk about the AIDS crisis.
Yeah, Adam, the largest gathering of AIDS experts and people interested in the subject in history, 25,000 people gathered in Toronto, Canada, Monday and Tuesday, to talk about where we're at. You know, so many millions of people have died and are infected from this disease, and it's spreading at a rapid rate, in particular in India and other parts of Asia and China and elsewhere in your region. And there was a lot of talk, and Mr. Bill Gates, the richest man in the world, and Mr. Bill Clinton, the two Bills they called him, gathered there and spoke to the crowds. Gates said that basically the treatment programs, and he just gotten a lot of money to invest in treatment and prevention programs. Prevention is not working as well as treatment.
On the treatment front, PEPFAR is a great success, and we need to get that story out there because there isn't the kind of grassroots support that would necessarily keep the U.S. donating at not only that level, but the increasing level that's needed. On the prevention front, things are far more complicated because everything that we've tried, you know, for example, education does not change behavior as much as we'd like.
So after this talk fest, where then will they be directing this money, towards AIDS prevention or AIDS cures?
Well, former President Bill Clinton told the group that his outfit, and in conjunction with Mr. Gates's foundation, needs to stick together.
One of the most exciting things about having the Gates Foundation fund all this research and then get the gift from Warren Buffett is that it will increase their leverage to demand that anybody that gets the benefit of their investment share their findings and work together and coordinate and not waste money building empires when they could be saving lives. It's great. And I think it's been great.